In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at buoyancy and balance and breaking through. If you're just visiting with us today or have or missed the last couple of weeks, you can go online and listen to the inspirations of buoyancy and balance. Because I made the claim that God gives us the capability and the opportunity and the responsibility to be buoyant and to be balanced in our lives. Something you may wrestle with, something we see every day, the people around us, imbalanced lives, not buoyant, and you can pursue that as you'd like. Today we're going to talk about breaking through, and breaking through is an interesting thing. I know some of you perhaps this morning will say, I'm happy where I am. I don't need a breakthrough. I'm good the way I am. Some of you may say, well, I really want breakthrough. I've been praying for breakthrough in a certain area of my life. In fact, I think I've given up trying. Others will say, I've been praying for breakthrough, and I continue to pray for breakthrough. And others this morning will say, hey, I break through every day. All of you have the opportunity. In fact, I think you have the reality that you will break through. Let me first say this. Paul wrote something very interesting to the Roman believers. He said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You already have the capability. You already have broken through in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We start with this truth. You're already more than conquerors. A little while back, I was thinking, you know, Lord, this could be the day you come back. In fact, I hope it is. You've already broken through. In Christ, you are more than conquerors. So starting with that truth that we are more than conquerors in Christ, Paul goes on further in chapter 12 to say this. This is the Message translation. With God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Do you realize that God is changing you from the inside out? Interacting together, if you listen to people's stories closely, you'll realize someone will say something like, you know, I didn't know that I was growing in patience, and then one day I realized in a certain experience that I have more patience than I used to have. You see, God's working on us from the inside out because he already accepts us as more than conquerors. But Paul challenges us that we still have our role to do in transformation or breakthrough. He's speaking about transformation. So all through our lives, physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, and socially, we want, we need, we will experience breakthrough. How many of you are still learning your alphabet? Did you break through on that? Did you learn a language? Do you remember when you were 3 or 4 years old thinking, I'll never master this? I can't get past G. You have broken through. In fact, when you think about the blessings in your life, you broke through a number of times. Sometimes I get myopic and have my blinders on and say, oh, I can't change. God says you're changing all the time, Ken. I'm changing you, and you have the capability to change. I believe, at least I've experienced in my life, that breaking through comes about typically when I'm near a breaking point and when I'm near breakdown. Let me say that again. I believe breakthrough often happens when we reach our breaking point, which, let's face it, we don't really want to reach that, and when we break down. When we give up control, when we give full release over, when we sacrifice, when we pay the price for transformation or breaking through, and when we get there, the rest often happens beyond our control. It's interesting how that works out. But let's face it, when we're looking at breakthrough, the more we seek and the deeper we go into breakthrough in our lives, the more time we're spending in God's country. He is the one that's the master of breakthrough. He welcomes you to places in breakthrough, but he does so on his terms, not yours. What are his terms? Humility. worship, yielding to Him, and a redefinition of you. So before we take a look at character study in God's Word, I want to ask you three questions. And here's where the pen comes in, or your electronic device. This will be for your benefit, so please do this. Later on, you can pray about that which you write down, or you can hold on to it tight, or you can take it home to pray about it. You don't have to share it with anyone else. It's for you. First question. I'm going to ask you three. First question. What is the one area, what is the issue that you feel and have the desire to break through in your life? Some of you will know it right away. What is that thing in your life, what is that area in your life where you want to make a breakthrough? Let me give that some contour. Let me give that some breakdown. In your physical life, do you want better health, or are you looking for a job or a new job? That's a breakthrough. In your emotional life, would you like more peace at home or at work? Less worry, more rest. In your intellectual life, students, would you like to be better at your studies? Would you like to be able to absorb more when you read or enjoy reading? Your mind, right? Intellectual life. Your social life. When I ask about breakthroughs, do you think about a relationship that you want restored? Or healing from relationship pain? Do you want richer friendships? Is that a breakthrough in your life? Spiritually, do you want a deeper prayer life? Greater sense of God's presence? I've been hearing rumblings, which are exciting to hear, that you want to read God's Word, and some of you have said, I'd like to set a goal of reading a book this year, reading the New Testament this year, reading the Bible this year. And please don't start by saying, I'm going to read the Bible in the next 6 months. You'll get halfway through Zephaniah or Chronicles, and you'll say, oh man, this is hard. You're human beings. Set yourself targets that you can attain. And if you haven't yet read through the Bible completely, read a book. But don't start with 3 John or Jude. That's one page. 42 chapters. You can do that within half an hour. Read through the book of John. That's a great place to start. Read the Gospels. Seek to understand what God wants you to do. So, physically, is there a breakthrough in your life that you want a breakthrough on? Just one. Emotionally, is there something that is more often pressing in your life where you want to break through? Intellectually, your mind, is there areas there that you'd like to break through? Socially, are there relationships that you want restored? Spiritually, is there an area of your life you want to break through? Everybody got one? In your mind, written down, in your computer, your electronic device? Number two, what is the input? What is the catalyst? What is the work required for you to break through? Let me give you an example. I haven't flown for 4 years now. I want to fly. I have my pilot's license. I have the money to do it. I have the desire. I went down on my motorcycle to go and see if I could fly one day on a beautiful day, and I walked in, and the guy said, you have to do your P-STAR. My what? Your test to see if you know what you need to know before you fly. This is down at Toronto Island. I went, oh. Okay, I'll try it right now. 90% is required. I got 50. In order to fly again, I have to pass that test. So I know the parameters of what I need to do so that I can fly. And my son, Andrew, motivated me. He said, hey, Dad, I want to go fly with you. I don't remember the last time we went flying. That's a goal for me. I've wrestled with that with God. What's the input? What's the catalyst? What's the work required for you to break through if you know it? I want to have a better relationship with someone. Get your favorite Starbucks, call the person up and say, when can we meet? That's the work required, the catalyst, right? Some of what you've written down may be really hard to understand what's the catalyst for you to break through in a certain area of your life. That's the second question. If you know what the catalyst or the input or the work required, write it down. Third question. What is God's perspective on that breakthrough? What does God say? What is the lesson that He wants to teach you in that area? Some of you will look at your list, perhaps, look upwards to God and say, thank you, God, you gave me that breakthrough desire. At times in my life, I've written down things that I want to break through, and I have to look down when I think of that question because God really doesn't want me to do that. That's not a breakthrough that's honoring to him. I want to speed faster through the streets of Toronto. That's not honoring to God. Breakthrough sometimes is what we want, and we know that God does not. So, three questions. Have you got them? Number one, what's the area you want to break through in your life? Number two, what's required for that breakthrough? What is God's answer to that breakthrough? As you think about that, let's look at our example. There's a profound example in the Bible of two women. Two women that are amazing from a breakthrough point of view. Let me just set the scene. You can find this in Luke 1. I know it's a familiar story, and some of you say, oh yeah, we read that last month. Let's look at it again in terms of that breakthrough or that profound breakthrough. Luke 1. We're going to start at at 26. Let me set the scene. It's Jerusalem. It's between 5 and 7 AD. It's the Roman province of Judea, and the Roman emperor rules over it. The priests go about busy on their days every day. They go to the temple, and one day a man named Zach goes up to the temple. He offers the incense, and as he's doing so, an angel appears beside him. It blows him away. Angel appears beside him and he says, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a baby. Zechariah says, I'm an old man. You got the wrong guy. And it's your wife, Elizabeth, that's going to have the baby. Zechariah says, and I don't know how they record this in scripture, but it says, she's well along in years, is the way that it's described. Zechariah's first question has to be in his mind is this going to happen the normal way babies come about? What he could do is just wait for 3 months to see the baby bump come, but he says, I don't believe it, to the angel, and the angel says, okay, because you did not accept God's blessing to you, you're not going to say anything for 9 months. God's gracious to us, eh? Zechariah can't tell what happened. He goes home to his wife, and 3 months later, Elizabeth's sporting a baby bump. Incredible. So, this is where it starts. I'll just read this, and you can follow along in Luke 1:26. Gabriel goes somewhere else. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Then Mary went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary is a righteous Jewess. She knows her Torah. We'll see that in the next few verses. She's also a descendant of David. So what comes to follow is that she writes a song. Zechariah writes a song. Elizabeth writes a song. And Mary writes a song. She's a descendant of David after all. But she's surprised by this. Of course, she's surprised by this angelic interruption. And it's not the type of breakthrough that she wanted in her life, I suppose. The angel shows up, and Mary, it's said of Mary, was greatly troubled at his words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary's a smart Jewess that knows the Torah. How do we know this? Because halfway through this, her prayers are being answered. What are her prayers? I don't know, but I could speculate that she wanted to get married. That's what she was going to do. I can speculate that in her culture at her time, she wanted to have a baby. Maybe she wanted to start an olive wood or an olive store in Nazareth. She's had those prayers. She's wanted to break through, and she's about to get married. And she's about to have a child. But halfway through this discussion, somehow the angel gives indication to Mary that it's not going to be the typical way it happens. Maybe it's the fact that the angel shows up to Mary and not Joseph. Maybe Mary already knows that Zechariah has seen an angel. The angel would come to the man in that culture. Here's the angel coming to Mary. Mary's wondering what kind of greeting this is. And Mary is smart because she responds saying, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I'm a virgin." You see, if she had assumed that the baby was coming from Joseph, she wouldn't ask that question. That's what her breakthrough would have been. She's getting something from the angel that she knows this is different than any other time. She asks the question, "How is this going to be? I'm a virgin." And the angel answers her and says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word for God will ever fail." Two women break through in their lives. Mary's response to this statement is brilliant. Mary responds, she's just been given a life-changing, earth-shattering announcement. She's going to be the first woman that's ever going to give birth to a child without having been with a man. And her response is brilliant. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." So Gabriel left. What does she say? "Bring it on. I'm here." I don't know what she was feeling. I imagine her hands shaking. I imagine her head spinning when the angel disappears. I've just been told that I'm going to have a baby supernaturally. And see, Mary knows most likely of the statement that was said, "A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son," in Isaiah. She's shaking. I think she was so overwhelmed and shaking that this was the time that she chose to go and be with Elizabeth, who also is experiencing breakthrough in her life. Two couples, Zechariah and Elizabeth, in their elder years, experiencing breakthrough in their life that they had prayed for years, possibly given up in terms of their praying. Zechariah is so shocked, he paid the price with 9 months of silence. And then he played with his son John in joy. Breakthrough. Mary and Joseph, they weren't even looking for this breakthrough yet. The angel had showed up to Mary and said, "Hey, you're going to have a great wedding and God's going to be with you." Awesome. That's the breakthrough I've been looking for. "Just showing up here today, Mary, because I want to tell you how many kids you're going to have." Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you. "I'm showing up here today, Mary, because you're going to have a baby without Joseph." That's not something she was praying for. Both Mary and Joseph, barely keeping up with this planning the wedding and changing households and the busyness of young married life, both of their response to God was, "Yes, Lord, we'll do it. We'll obey." There's many examples in the Bible of breakthrough. When you look through those experiences in life or experiences in the Bible and think of your own experiences, I believe that breakthrough comes in three ways. The first breakthrough that happens is there situation, events, and changes that come to you and I that we know nothing about. Breakthrough sometimes comes when God initiates or allows, because he knows about it. He either initiates or allows something, even coming through the action of others, and breakthrough just happens. Our response to it is typically either positively or negatively. So what do we do in breakthroughs in our lives that we don't expect, but we know are coming? Think about it. This week, this month, who have you talked to that said, "Oh my goodness, I was just living my life, didn't expect any of this, and all of a sudden, bam, I got the diagnosis. I was just living my life, doing everyday thing, and bam, had an accident. Changed everything. Just living my life, having a great day, and I won $1.5 billion in the Super Powerball. Didn't expect it, but did buy the ticket." Living my life every day and the boss comes to me, taps me on the shoulder and says, "I want to promote you." Didn't expect it. Wasn't praying for it. Our response to it is important. So, let me say this. I believe That when we experience these breakthroughs in life that are coming and we can't stop them because they're God's plan or God will allow them. I believe that the breakthroughs that are coming that we know nothing about, our best role is to seek God to prepare us for what he knows is coming. He will and he can. You're examples of it. In your lives, I've heard you say, I didn't know that was coming, but God prepared me in this way. We can actually seek God's direction to prepare us for what's coming. Wisdom to know how to respond. That's what we can do to breakthroughs in our life that we don't expect that are coming. Second, situations or events or changes that we have some power over and that we are seeking breakthrough in. I suspect that the things that you wrote down in front of you are probably of this type. Things in your life that you have some power over and you seek breakthrough of. Sometimes you have the great frustration because you want to see this breakthrough in your life. It's not happening. You have some control over it, but other people have control over it. God has control over it as well. Areas that we seek breakthrough. We seek inputs and work required or catalysts for these breakthroughs. That's wise to do so. It's wise for us to be diligent about breakthrough in our lives. The Bible teaches us to be diligent and work hard at the breakthroughs that God wants in our lives. And it's even wiser to seek God's perspective on what we're seeking. God, do you really want me to change this job? God, do you really want me to restore this relationship? These situations in life are a partnership between us and God. It's a beautiful expression, even though I get frustrated at times that God's not doing his part. Sometimes he is accelerating too quickly. I'm not ready for it. I want to be in control, right? That's God's image upon us that tempts us into saying we're God. But we're not. In these areas, first, understanding your role and his will. Secondly, understanding your will and your role. And the impact of others is vital. Each of us in life will have areas in our life where we want to break through, and God says, no. You want to look this up in the Bible and see a poignant example of this? Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, perhaps this afternoon. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He prayed 3 times for God to remove it so he would be a better apostle, a better evangelist, and he sought the Lord 3 times. And God said no. And when you read through that passage, Paul understands the reason then why God said no. Wow. I would like that in my life. When I seek breakthrough and God says no, I'd like to then be able to discern with God, oh, that's the reason you kept me from doing it. Some of you have shared in your lives with me how over time you learn that. And every time I've heard that, there's a satisfaction to say, ah, I've learned that in life. And now I know why God said no. And I'm the better for it. But there's a third area. The third area is situation, events, and changes we have near total power over. What you have for lunch today, God is not going to tell you what to have. And if you want to go to the Cocobana and have a real breakthrough on Brazilian steak, that's up to you. There's things in our life where God gives us almost near control over. Now, I say near control because if God really doesn't want me at Cocobana this afternoon, he will redirect me, I believe. Maybe I just don't need that much beef. But there's lots of things in our life where we have almost total power over, and we seek breakthrough in those areas. So you may have written down on your sheets in front of you, this is an area in which I want to break through. And when you think about it, you say, there's nothing in the Bible that restricts me from this. In fact, the Bible encourages me to do this. In fact, the Bible says I have freedom over this. This debate often comes up for those of you that are younger of who you marry. I've heard it expressed many days, oh, there's one person in my life that God has given me that I just have to find. I've heard other great speakers, pastors say, you know, there's lots of people that could fit into your life. And God does not prescribe in the Bible that there's only one person that you'll be with. It's not there. I can't find it. I believe Janet's the perfect mate for me, of course. But I don't think that if I married someone else, God wouldn't work through me in some ways. The things that you have power over. And the real question there You seek to have breakthrough in those areas. So what's the question? What's the input? What's the catalyst? What's the work required for us to break through, for you to break through? What's your willpower? We can all experience breakthroughs in these areas. Some of them take a lot of work, but we can experience these breakthroughs. And as a church, this is one of the ways in which being accountable to each other can be really helpful. Because we're so diverse, age, culture, experiences, that actually I believe someone in this church probably has the same kind of breakthrough you do in life. If you find that person and you say, how did you break through and get to that area of life? You can ask them that question. It's a great way for us to actually know, as a church, what are you seeking to break through? What are you seeking to attain? Where in culture is there a better place for us to help each other in those breakthrough areas of our lives? To be better at who we are? I can't think of one. Can't think of one. Let me put it another way. Breakthrough, regardless of its source, regardless of where the impetus comes for us to break through, God teaches us through these experiences the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, in particular, peace. All he has to do is say, wait, and he'll give you peace. Patience. If you ever had to wait for something in life that you're seeking a breakthrough on, God's actually teaching you patience when you don't get it. Long-suffering. That's Paul's example in 2 Corinthians. He was suffering. And God said, I'm going to teach you something deeper than this. Gentleness, self-control, his timing, his will. In our last life in the HOV, we were talking about U-turns, which is another way of saying breakthrough. We were talking about U-turns, and the discussion was awesome. Because y'all could have been there. It was really interesting to see people talk about breakthroughs in their life. And there's one comment in particular that I heard that fit into what we were talking about. And so I asked Nancy if I could share that comment. Because what she said about an experience that she had really helps us understand breakthrough. And it really inspires me, inspires us, I think, as a church, as Christians, to pursue it. This is what she experienced. She was sitting on a dock, reading a book, having a holiday with other Salvation Army officers and members up just outside of Algonquin Park, having a great time of it, enjoying the book, enjoying her time there. And two ladies were sitting beside her and happening to wrestle with the same thing she was wrestling with. And these two ladies, as they talked to one another, one turned to the other one and said, we do not totally commit to God because we think God will put limits on our lives. We do not totally commit to God because we think God will put limits on our lives. In other words, God gives negative breakthrough if we give too much power to him. But, she said, by not totally committing to God, we put limits on our lives. You see, God wants to give us positive breakthrough. We limit how much he breaks through in a positive way. It blows me away. God actually limits his power to change our lives, holds back. He knows we can be better. He knows we can change to be the person that we ultimately want to become. But because of our resistance, he says, okay, I'll go at your pace. You're telling me no? I'll wait. God is so responsive to you and loves you so much that he does not force you into his time frame. We do not totally commit to God because we think God puts limits on our lives. But by not totally committing to God, we put limits on our lives. Breakthrough is coming in your life whether you like it or not. Maybe you love where you are right now, the age and stage you're at, and you don't want it to end. It will. Every day brings it closer. Part of our lives are response. God gives us the freedom actually to pursue in our lives breakthrough, things that we want to accomplish. So the question is this. Do you want a breakthrough with God or without him? Furthermore, by extension, do you want God's direction in life, his guidance to give you balance? Do you want God's help to be buoyant in your life? God gives us an opportunity to break through. promise you, Christ in your lives, the experience of breakthrough that you will have experienced 100 years from now will be absolutely overwhelming positively. It's a challenge for us in some ways to think about breakthrough. And I actually wanted this discussion this morning just to initiate discussions that you have with each other. Breakthrough in your lives. I want you really to be able to wisely go before God with the wisdom that James says is yours as a child of God. And be able to say, God, is this really what you want me to break through? Or are you going to give me peace and long-suffering and patience and not the breakthrough?